This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Come on. It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, southwestern Pennsylvania, Latrobe, everywhere that isn't under the dark cloud that follows our friend Mark Cabali around constantly. He has had a week while I was gone on vacation, but I am back. And I think maybe, just maybe, Kaboom has worked through the last of the issues that have plagued him over the last several days. I hate to jinx anything, even though I always tell my kids jinxes aren't real. I hate to jinx anything and cause something else to happen, because it's always possible with this beautiful bleep show of a podcast we call Cabali and Mac. Welcome in, friends, presented by the Dan Heck Team. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are here to help you. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com, the key to your next door. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Mike, Heather, Tia, Corey, John, the whole team there to help you. And we are here to talk about everything that may have been, well, not talked about enough or maybe talked about too much already over the last week. Yes, SummerSlam over the weekend. I'll be honest, I think it got ruined by one thing in particular. We'll get into that. WWE fans, of course, Cabali writes for WWE.com. We'll break all that down a little bit later in the show. Should we be worried about something with the Stillers now 11 days into training camp? Or maybe it's a good sign. Maybe we're looking at the glass half empty and we should be looking at it half full as Kaboom takes a sip of his drink. I am Chris Mack, just a dude in his basement. He is Mark Cabali. Been covering the Steelers for two decades, and you can follow us at Cabali and Mac on X, on Facebook, on Instagram. Don't forget that. We're closing in on that 500 follower mark on Instagram. When we do, somebody will get that $100 gift certificate from our friends at Yoli's Cucina and Craft House in Jefferson Hills. Somebody who's one of those first 500 Instagram followers. And make sure you're subscribed on YouTube. Closing in on 2,100 subscribers, I think. Once we get to 2,500, we'll give away that beautiful autographed Paul Skeens baseball. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. As I mentioned, it's been a week for your boys. Mine wasn't terrible, other than the fact that I don't think I pooped solid for like 6 days now because we went on vacation to the Dominican. I didn't eat or drink anything I wasn't supposed to eat or drink, Kaboom, but nonetheless, stomach issues persist in the Mac household.
Montezuma, what a bitch, huh?
Yeah, Montezuma's revenge is specific to Mexico, I think. But yeah, same deal. Maybe too much of the ice in the crushed frozen drinks. I don't know. maybe just too much food and drink, period, over the course of a week. Yeah. Great place we went to. The people were awesome. The food actually was fantastic, and the drinks were great too, but just maybe a little too much. And the stomach's still getting readjusted, you know?
Look at you complaining.
I'm not complaining. I had a great time.
On a desert island.
It's not a desert island. It's more like a jungle.
While we're here in Pittsburgh dealing with the 98-degree heat during training camp, and you're laying on the beach and petting stingrays. And
laying in a pool. Yeah, going down water slides with my kid. We had a great time. I'm not complaining. I'll pee poop out my bum for a week in order to get that vacation every time. I'll be okay. I'll survive.
You'll have that paid off in about 2056.
Yeah, probably. Hey, look, people that want to sponsor Kabali and Mac, you're welcome to jump on board and help pay for my vacation and get Kaboom something with all-wheel drive, maybe. Huh?
Easy.
What happened there?
Now. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're
talking about. What am I talking about? I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. Look at this.
It's a neutral.
First of all,
okay.
All right, we're gonna try this. Everybody on here, I love the assortment of suburbanite dad talk going on. People making sure the car is in neutral.
It wasn't in neutral, it's in reverse.
People making sure that, you know, everybody's pushing correctly. You got the floor mats underneath the back tires to try and gain some traction. Still,
this was about after an hour's worth of trying. So, and it didn't move. So I'm like, it's not going. I'm going to call AAA.
Two,
I'm not even pulling. I'm like, whoa.
Air ball get low. Woo! And it finally comes out.
Look at this. Look at the collection of people there.
I know.
Jazz. It didn't start working out until Jazz showed up.
Jazz is a big man.
Jazz showed up.
Like I said, air ball got low, you know. It's all about pad level.
It wasn't the point. You needed sheer numbers to get out of there at that point. Because it wasn't like it was plugged. It was just bottomed out. So you had to get over this grassy knoll. So you almost had to pick up and push. You weren't going to get there by two or three people.
Why were you parked in the grass in the first place? Was the lot?
Weren't you there the day before and saw the parking? There was no place to go. No place. So I'm like, well, I'll just park here. It's a flat area. The grass was just high. So you pulled in. I'm like, whatever. It's fine to me. Who cares? You just back out. Little did I know that once I pulled back out, there was a big mound of dirt and rocks, and it must have bottomed out. We had security people. We had media people. We had PR guys. I mean, I think Father Paul and a couple monks were there too. I mean, they just showed up. I mean, I didn't ask anybody. You know, I asked Ray and Rudder initially. I said, hey, you guys are busy.
You guys busy? No, no, we're not doing anything. We only got 13 articles to write on based on each practice.
It was and it wasn't budging. Then just waves and waves of people came in and tried to help, and it wasn't budging. And it wasn't budging. Then all of a sudden, you know, it was like, you know, flies on horse shit. All of a sudden, it must have like went through the entire campus, and all of a sudden, like, people start marching down there. I'm like, okay, well, this will work.
We got a great reverse angle, too, from our friend Cassidy Wood at KDKA. This one really – look at this.
Oh, text hits the ground in front.
Look at this. I'm about to give up.
There's Steve Finnerty. Here comes Buzzsaw late.
Well, yeah.
Text hits the ground. Herbaugh's butt crack showing.
That's all right. Look, this is slow.
Security people.
The cheers of everybody. It's just just amazing.
That's why you go to camp. Camaraderie, right?
Camaraderie. That's it. You don't get that anywhere. I'm glad you got out.
It's only me, man. I'm just sitting there and just waiting. I'm like, how does this always find me? I mean,
always.
Anybody else could have parked there, and that's fine.
And this is, I'm trying to do math on days because I wasn't here
for
it. It
was SummerSlam day. It was Saturday. I was trying to get out of there to go back to watch some SummerSlam.
Right. So this is Friday, Thursday. This is 3 days after you readily admit on international television that when you perform a dry wipe, you throw TP in the garbage can on the Pat McAfee show?
It depends on where you're at.
I mean, it depends. No, it doesn't depend on where you're at.
What are you talking about? If I'm like just sheets, it's just wherever, man. I don't really care.
Oh,
just get God. Go, whatever.
Why?
You know,
why
you, can't it, you it just... all started. It all started with I just tweeted a picture of the nice rolling hills of the foothills of the Alleghenies, mm-hmm. and dude wipes like reach out to me. Hey, you want some dude wipes?
Sure.
Then that's how it all started, and you know how it goes.
No, I don't know how it goes. Where you decide to wipe your ass and go, oh, that's a clean wipe. I'm going to just throw it in.
Speaking of it.
Well, I thought it started with Pat referencing the swamp ass that everybody was suffering. You mentioned it was really hot a couple days last week.
Oh, that day he was there, it was 90. It had to be 100 on the field. It had to be.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if you need a remedial how to wipe your ass class, if that's a thing that exists, but.
Well, let me tell you something. You guys all sit up here in your high and mighty whatever, pew, church, whatever the hell it is. What do you call that thing? Crown?
I'm up there in the Basilica at St. Vincent looking down on you.
Meanwhile, the next day I'm sitting on the sidelines. You saw where you go with the media yeah. the other day. Some guy comes up to me and he whispers to me, I do the same thing. So don't act like this is something that
You've unleashed an army of people who are now going to wipe their asses and throw it in the trash. It's disgusting.
Well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Jesus. So it was a week for you.
You opened the show talking about your freaking pooping habits. What was it with me?
My point here is that as much as I've wiped my ass, and it's been a lot in the last week, I not once have had a clean wipe when I was done and gone, you know what? I'm just going to throw that in the trash. And I was in a foreign country.
It's your house.
No, I'm talking about when I was in a foreign country. I never once went, yeah, you know what? That's pretty clean. We'll just throw that in the trash over there. No, it gets flushed, Mark.
See, I didn't want to go down that route because it was might have been a sponsor. And you know how everybody basically says there's no good wipes to flush. I didn't really want to go down that route. So,
okay. As long as you've maintained a quality relationship.
I'll tell you one thing, though. When you get that colonoscopy the day before, you buy the popsicles, you buy the clear liquid, the broth, and the big bag of dude wipes.
This is how you know we're old. We opened the show talking about colonoscopies. I promise we're going to talk plenty of football. Thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens, who will have your yard looking as pretty as the fields at St. Vincent College in Latrobe. You won't have to mow it. You won't have to spray fertilizer on it or weed killer or none of that nonsense. They'll come out and tell you exactly what they do. Maybe it's the whole yard. Maybe it's just a little area you want done. But Southwest Greens, PA.com. Go there, get a hold of Jake. He'll come on out, tell you exactly what he can do for your lawn. A beautiful artificial surface, looks real, acts real. Kids play on it. Pets do what pets do on it. And they don't have to worry about wiping because they're animals. So they don't worry about where they would throw toilet paper. But I can pretty much assure you that if dogs wiped their ass, they would probably flush it too. You want a good looking yard, best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance, Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. All right.
Hey, people, we going on location Saturday or what?
Yeah, you want to do it? Let's do it.
I think we might be going on location Saturday. How about that?
We're going on location Saturday. We'll tell you
that
more.
That might be a disaster waiting to happen, huh?
Yeah, technologically, it might be a big mess, but we're going to give it a go anyway for our buddy Phil. The Maine's family golf outing taking place this Saturday. And yeah, we're going to give it a shot and see what happens. And if it turns out well, then we know that we can do live editions of the podcast maybe later this year during the season. And if it doesn't turn out well, then we'll figure something out. Tell our boy Tanuda. He might be on call.
Donnie's going to be there, Donnie Football. I said, hey, maybe you jump on with us. But the thing is Phil asked me, I said, Phil, I don't know. Max on vacation. He's the brains of the operation. That's I'm scary. Just a pretty face.
Jesus.
I don't know how got that much. Works.
Between brains and pretty faces, there ain't a lot between the two of us. So we'll figure it out anyway. And of course, Saturday, the day of the first preseason game, by which point you would hope the offense would have figured some things out. Here's a part of what Mike Tomlin had to say yesterday about that.
Hey, kind of the culmination of a big week for us, this second week of team development. You take significant steps in a lot of areas. Hopefully, you're minimizing some self-inflicted wounds and you start to see some playmaking, not based on what others don't do, but based on the quality of performance. And so we saw some signs of that.
Did we? Did we see, like, from the defense? And we talked about this yesterday afternoon on the sidelines at practice. Full disclosure, my kid really wanted to go to camp. Little super yinzer that he is. The first day back from vacation. So we drove up to Latrobe. Big thanks to our guy, Bert Lawton, who got us on the sidelines. Not on the media portion of the sideline. I had to yell that
2 feet forward.
Yeah. I had to yell to Kabali to get his attention. But no, we seriously talked about this. Is the offense really struggling this much, or is the defense just that good?
Depends on how positive you want to be, right?
I guess, like I said, yesterday, glass half full or glass half empty.
Yesterday was just a clinic put on by that defense.
So here's the thing. If it were... And it was. I mean, what? They scored two touchdowns in 14 tries inside the five.
Even the team periods and some of the runs, and it was just like nothing was happening. And I could sit there and say, you know, the offense is going to come around. Let's just wait. The defense just got some good players.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
But for the most part, during these team periods, Watt wasn't playing, Hayward wasn't out there, Highsmith wasn't out there, Porter wasn't out there, and still just an absolute dominating faction out there.
Yeah, and I mean,
I guess on the bright side of it, defense looks like it's raring to go.
The Ramsey Island effect, if we want to bring that moniker up again for Jalen Ramsey this year, looks legit to me. Like nothing is open on his side of the field.
People think I was just like, you know, speaking crap when I'm saying this guy's a difference maker. You just go out there for 5 minutes, you're like, yeah, this guy's a difference maker.
He
jumps off at the table for you.
Literally nothing. I mean, at least in the team periods that I was watching, and I imagine that you watched too, although you were going up and down the sideline, keeping a closer eye on things than I was, nothing goes to his side of the field. It's why you're seeing Rodgers, and we can get to the offensive line in a second, but it's why you're seeing Rodgers and even Rudolph and Howard to an extent have to run around a little bit sometimes to try and make some plays. But especially Rodgers, because first team O going up against first team D, there's nothing available on Ramsey's side of the field. And like you said, Porter wasn't even out there yesterday. Slay was still running around making plays. The safeties are making plays, not just in coverage, but coming up in the run game, which you mentioned. There wasn't one. You know how every once in a while you'll see a run pop and the crowd cheers and somebody just takes off for 80 yards? Didn't see one of those yesterday in 11 on 11.
You see the Marvin Leal making plays of all people. The two inside. I mean, Patrick Queen even said, I didn't have a very good practice at all. I said, hey, PQ, you must have some high standards, my friend. I mean, did you happen to see what was going on out there? The defensive line, I would just maybe that was the first time really the offensive line's been together as a complete unit. Jones has been banged up. Sam Mallow's been banged up. Maybe it's going to take a little bit more time. Calvin Austin wasn't out there. Plus, you know, when you go out there with the offense, there's no game plan. They're just trying to get certain things accomplished right there. And you're 11, 12 days into camp. These guys are smart on the back end. They know what plays you're running, man, just by seeing formations. So there's no fooling going on right here, right now. So that's why the defense, I think, is looking a little bit better, a lot better than it is right now. But, I mean, even Mason running for his life on the second team as well, some batted down balls. Yesterday was one of the more dominant performances I remember in recent history of this defense. Just they weren't allowing it. This was like 2010 Steelers defense type of stuff.
Now, the other side of that is the offense still, I know there's nothing open, especially in the 11-on-11. Most of it's taking place in condensed areas of the field, right? So you're not worried about protecting the back end in a seven shots drill or a goal line drill. So there's not a lot of room for guys to get open. You mentioned Calvin Austin wasn't on the field yesterday, getting a day off, but there's a lot that still looks, even despite all those excuses, still looks discombobulated in the Steelers offense. Wes was on here before we even started the show saying the coaches don't have a clue what the hell they're doing on offense. Bottom line, end of story. Still does look discombobulated.
Can you be bobulated?
You can be recombobulated. I've actually seen that at an airport before. After you go through security and they make you put your stuff back together and you put your shoes back on and all that.
Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, there's one team drill called team run. I wonder what you're going to do during team run. For the most part, you're going to run the ball 8 out of 10 plays. So there is an advantage there. You're not able to be able to mix some stuff up. I've liked some of the things Rodgers has been doing, but I don't think he's too worried about, you know, getting honed in more than he is getting known his receivers and what to do and where to throw and make different routes. I mean, he's going against his defense too, man. I mean, his defense is pretty good. So I'm not going to hit a panic button yet on this offense, but I like to look at it more as just the defense is just playing extremely well right now.
A glass half full moment from Mark Cavalli. Look at that.
I'm just going to approach it that way right now until I see something more concrete. Now, if they go out in Jacksonville, it's going to be tough in Jacksonville because I don't think a lot of those guys are going to play, or at least a handful of them, the important guys, aren't going to play offensively. So you probably get a better read on some of the guys there. But, how many times do you see Jaylen Warren run the ball? How many times do you see Caleb Johnson run the ball? I mean, you've seen a lot of Trey Lance. You're seeing a lot of, Robinson in a fullback setting. What are we doing here, right?
Did you mean Trey Sermon?
What did I say?
Lance.
Oh, I guess I was watching the Hall of Fame game the other day.
Yeah. You're right. Okay, I get that. Not a ton of reps yet for Jaylen Warren, for Caleb Johnson. If I'm concerned about anything, it's the offensive line, because you talk about getting that timing down between Rodgers and Metcalf and the rest of the receiving core. It'd be nice to see him work from a clean pocket more often than not, and there's been a lot of running around by him.
Yeah, but how do you get good on offense? They got the pedigree. Their best offensive line was those days of Gilbert Pouncey, DeCastro, Villanueva, Foster. They played like 7 years together, 5 years together. Crazy amount of games. These guys have played like 20 snaps together, right? So they need time together. That's what they've been lacking so far here in this setting. I mean, Sam Malu missed the first week. Broderick's been a little bit banged up. Zach Frazier been struggling with some snapping, but it seems like he got that figured out. I think the guy you look at who's been the most consistent has been Mason McCormick right now. So that's a good sign moving forward. But
Fautanu's been okay on the side.
Look at 3 years ago when Kenny Pickett was picking people apart. Wow, this offense is great. How did that offensive season turn out?
Good point.
Should learn by then to not really read a ton into this. I mean, either way. However, the defense does look like it has everything set up to be a very, very
talented group this year.
I mean, every guy that they added during the offseason on the defensive side of the ball, I think has looked, short of maybe Juan Thornhill, who we haven't seen a ton from yet, has looked, or every guy who is being counted on to give something to this defense, whether it's a new guy or a second year guy or a guy who's supposed to step up, has been doing so, I think, on that side of the ball. You keep talking about Peyton Wilson. He's looked really good, especially in the run game. They bring in Chuck Clark last minute. He's looked really good, both run game and coverage. Harmon, I thought, looked really good yesterday in the run game. So, I mean, those are, like you said, all these things they've added to the defense, same defense that fell apart down the stretch last year, give you hope that that won't necessarily happen again this year. I know I mentioned a couple times the last time we talked, you know, what if teams want to run on them early in the season and try it and see if they can get anything? I don't know how you attack this defense now based on the way they're playing in camp anyway.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you're doing man coverage, you're having a guy like Jalen Ramsey can float around in different areas. If you don't have the three best edge rushers in the league, you know, a group of them, I don't know who would have better guys than Herbig, Highsmith, and Watt.
No, Herbig might be
Highsmith has low-key been a absolute menace in this training camp. And I've heard people say, oh, trade him for McLaurin or whatever. Alex Highsmith is a stud, man. He's been almost unblockable until he got a little bit of groin ejection, growing, a little bit of a groan action yesterday. So they're deep too. I think the inside linebackers, I think Wilton's, I mean, if you even get past Wilson and Queen, I mean, you do, I don't know about Malik Harrison. He's a,
having some
you
issues.
Don't want Malik Harrison to cover anybody. I can guarantee you on that one.
Okay. So the defense, as long as it stays healthy, and you
the
got all these
line is a one where you're looking. I mean, is Benton going to be that guy? Is Harmon going to be able to produce enough? Are they going to have those second wave of guys of the Logan Lees, Loudermilks, YA Blacks, and all those guys? It seems like they will be fine. The safety, I don't know how much they're going to use free safety. I think Chuck Clark has looked decent for what they've. He's been able to do so far, but not only are they good, they're talented. I think they're pretty much very deep, other than maybe the defensive line right now. So if this defense comes out and craps the bed like it did late last year, then I give up. I don't know what to do. Just, you know, do the Ben Cherington and just get rid of everybody.
You just went in the span of about 3.5 minutes from glass half full Kabali to glass empty.
Well, I mean, honestly, you have everything in front of you right now. And if you come out and just, you know, like that last three or four games of the season last year, I would have no answer. I don't know what you do. There's nowhere else you can get better. You'd have to change coordinators. You'd have to change personnel. You'd have to change your whole way of thinking. And I don't think that's going to happen, but I mean, this could be a team that, I mean, this could be like the Paul Skeens version, the Buckeyes, right?
Oof. Let's not go that far.
Well, you know, the offense might, if the offense like at least scores 3 points, they win, or 7 points, they'll win, but there might be times where this offense doesn't score 7 points. I'm just going to the extreme here.
I know. That's one extreme end of the spectrum. I will say, if you're looking for bright spots from the offense, which have been few and far between the first week and a half of camp, you mentioned Calvin Austin all summer long. Mm-hmm. You said look out for Roman Wilson, too. Our friend Long Long Dong, who's frequently commenting on YouTube, asked about Roman Wilson. I saw Roman Wilson have a couple nice catches yesterday.
Coming out on him tomorrow, actually. Him and Calvin Austin talked to Zach Azani. Roman Wilson's an interesting bird. Doesn't quite like too many people, so.
Doesn't like too many people? He's not talking a lot. He's not yapping to the
joking around a little bit. He's not going to be cut playfully kissing guys' foreheads in the locker room.
Okay. Well, he doesn't if he catches the football, I don't care.
Yeah. Oh well, I'm just saying there's interesting dynamics there of what they're looking for and what they want their number two. They don't believe in the number two label. But they need specific things from their number two more than just catching the ball.
Well, you need a guy who can at least pull some coverage away from DK. Like, DK's just this freak. And again, I was down on the sidelines yesterday afternoon and just, the drill is designed, the one that I'm about to talk about, for guys to look good, right? But they do these drills where they high point the ball and the receiver has to go up and, you know, some guys try the one-handed thing. Most guys go up and make sure they secure the football before they come down. DK Metcalf is jumping like a full foot higher than anybody. He's catching it with one hand like it's a baseball. The dude is incredibly gifted athletically. If they can just put the football in his area, he's going to catch it. As long as there's not two guys covering him all the time. And that's the problem. You got to draw somebody away from DK somehow.
I wouldn't really anticipate the moon ball very much. Where he's been making his money at, or will make his money this year, is some of those quick crossers, some of those dig routes where he can catch and go, those arrow route type things where he fakes outside, come across middle, catch it, and turn it up the field. Sort of like the Larry Fitzgerald touchdown in 08, right, in the Super Bowl. That's where he is absolutely elite. And that's where you're going to get throws across the middle. That's where you're going to get catch and runs. Honestly, in this setting over the past 2 weeks, you could probably count the deep balls on one hand where they're just firing it, you know, Roman. Russell Wilson-like. I don't think that's going to be it. It's going to be a lot of catch and run type of stuff, at least from DK. And I think that's where he is going to earn his money at.
Yeah, it still doesn't force a defense to sit somebody back in the middle, though, and play a single high rather than go cover two and take away everything deep. And it still forces a lot of the coverage into a condensed window, like 15 yards off the ball, and makes it tough for even a quarterback who's as skilled as Rodgers, even if he has time, to put the ball right where it needs to be every time.
He's pretty good at that, though. He's been pretty elite at that. But then if you do have a Calvin Austin who has that capabilities, stretching it with his 4.2 speed, a guy like Jonnu Smith who's big, moves around the formation, and can get down the field, that can make up for it. I just don't anticipate air yards to DK Metcalf to be great this year. But I think the overall yards will – the yak yards, the rack yards.
Yeah.
Going to be significant.
That's great if they are. I'm just worried about, again, especially if the offensive line is not protecting Rodgers. They're forcing him to move around in the pocket. He isn't able to make that first read right away, and he's got to dump the ball off. It very quickly could devolve into an offense that looks very similar to, not necessarily late last season, but even the year before, right? When it was dump off, dump off, dump off, and that's all we complained about with the Matt Canada offense and Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky was dump off, dump off, dump off. If that first read isn't there and you can't hit Metcalf or whoever the primary target is, bang, right in stride where they need the ball, very quickly it devolves because you don't have any deep route concepts that are forcing the safeties to sit back and not attack the ball.
Yeah, which where the run game comes in to be able to loosen them. I think they want to be the run team first that plays off the tight ends and the catch and run for DK. And it almost looks like that's where they want their offense to go right now, play defense, you know, low scoring games, but games that puts them in position to win late. But the tight end stuff to me is just – it might be getting over the top to me. I mean,
what, four tight ends too many for you?
Four tight ends. You have fullbacks as linebackers. You have tight ends in the backfield taking pitches and running the ball. I mean, I could see what they're doing at the goal line with these big guys. It gives you options. You're able to isolate Darnell Washington on man coverage and let him just go beat the hell out of a smaller guy and say, okay, let's see if you can go get it. Now, I can see that.
That's another really big bright spot. You've written about it a couple times, and I've been saying it since they drafted the guy. He is really looking like a guy that they've finally come to the realization that a lot of us had early on. They need to use him because he's so damn big. And I'm not saying maybe he might not have the catch radius of a DK Metcalf or a George Pickens before him, but like you put the ball in an area where it's him and, like you said, a linebacker or a smaller D back. If it's on his hands, he's going to catch it, and then he's going to plow somebody, fall forward, gain another 3 yards. I mean, Darnell Washington could be a huge key this year, just picking up 6, 7, 8 yards when you absolutely need 6, 7, 8 yards.
Just think, you put four tight ends on the field and have a guy like Jaden Warren in the red zone, you know, low red zone, 5, 4, 3, 4, 5 yard line. You're probably going to counter with big people, and he has the ability to jump over big people. If they do bring in smaller people, then you can run the ball with Jaylen Warren. I mean, I think that's what they're thinking of doing right now. I never thought Darnell Washington was going to turn into crap, anything. After last year, I'm like, this guy's just, he can barely walk. He's a one contract guy. He's healed up something, man. And he's a different, if you're having a training camp MVP, he might be up there right now as the top guy.
At least on the offense, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's looked really, really good. So that does give you some hope. The other question that I've already seen a couple people hit the chat with is, who's going to play? You mentioned starters probably won't get a lot, if any, time Saturday in Jacksonville. When we're talking about an offense that needs reps, though, like, I don't think it would hurt to put the first team offense out there for a series or two. And I don't mean a long protracted series, but like get them out there for 7 or 8 plays.
I don't think you need that with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you need that with DK Metcalf. I don't think you need that with Freiermuth. I don't think you need that with Seumalo. Jones probably could use some, you know, rep time, but I don't know how healthy he is. But I would put guys like Frazier, McCormick, Fatanu, Caleb Johnson, maybe Jaylen Warren, Austin, Roman, those guys out there. But I just see no benefit in having Aaron Rodgers out there. None.
I just would like to see a little bit of chemistry developed in a game situation, maybe. That's all. Because here's the other thing. And I told you, and you didn't necessarily argue with me. I think we all realized that it wasn't any great shakes of a red hot take, but I knew it when we saw Mason come back and then look pretty good during minicamp, right? And now looking, I think, aside from yesterday when the entire offense didn't look good, look really good during camp. If this offense struggles in the first month of the season, and there's still some timing issues, whatever they may be, with Rodgers and DK or Rodgers and anybody, really, in the pass game, we're going to hear the shouts for Mason this, Mason that. And they're never going to bench Aaron Rodgers for Mason Rudolph. They're not.
Sure it's going to be Mason, or are they going to just dip down one more level? Well, hard. I'm talking about fan-wise, the fan talk.
Well, you're the fan talk right. It'll be a little towards both. It's already, you know, just put Howard in there. Let's see what he's got. The infatuation with Will Howard, it's because he's a great kid. He says all the right things. He works hard. I got no problem with an infatuation with Will Howard. But there's going to be a serious problem if the offense struggles through the first month of the season or so, and Rodgers isn't finding the timing, and everybody remembers what they see. Mason's going to play in the preseason, right? He might be he'll probably be out there for what, a quarter and a half on Saturday night, you would think,
if not more.
And if he looks good, especially with the tight ends, the secondary tight ends and secondary receivers, and the offense moves the ball a little bit and scores some, It's going to come up. There are going to be the calls.
It's going to come up by the fans.
Yes.
I got a better chance of starting at left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers than Mike Tomlin has of ever benching Aaron Rodgers this year for play, for lack of good play. It's not going to happen.
I totally understand, and I follow your logic. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying when it happens, not so much if it happens, because there will be struggles in the first month. When it happens, people are going to make the argument, just like we said they would, oh, if Rodgers would have come in sooner, if Rodgers would have practiced more, da-da-da. It's got, if Rodgers would have got more reps in the preseason, it's going to be brought up in September anytime this offense struggles. Anytime this offense goes three and out a couple times in the first half of a game or can't put together that late game comeback that you talked about, maybe their whole philosophy is just staying within a score so the savvy Hall of Famer can come in late and steal a game. I understand that that's their philosophy, but when this offense bogs down early, if the defense doesn't keep them in games, they're going to be in trouble, A, and B, hear it from the fans.
As the great Bill Cowher says, it's a fine line, man. You want to get guys like Aaron Rodgers ready, but he's 41, man, soon to be 42. I'd like to see him just get work things out week one against the Jets, then worry about a week three preseason game against the Carolina Panthers. I think he's smart enough, talented enough, experienced enough to be able to jump in there without any preseason play at all. Probably preseason practice, yeah, but not preseason play, and be just as good as if he did, if he went out there. I would not be stunned that he doesn't take one snap in training camp. I mean, preseason games.
Not a single snap.
Not one. I mean, I think he will get one some in Buffalo, the Buffalo game next Saturday. Next Saturday? Yeah. Buffalo? I think he'll – not Buffalo.
I think they played at home against Tampa.
Tampa. I wouldn't be shocked if he does get a series or two, but I wouldn't be overly shocked. And if he just says, hey, I know what he can do.
We'll see later in the week. Maybe we'll get a little bit more of an inkling. They're off today. Then they'll practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before the trip to Jacksonville.
Play Saturday, off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
And then break camp.
Off Wednesday. Practice at Acrisure Thursday, off Friday, Buffalo, and back to the South Side.
Tampa, not Buffalo.
Camp is over. Camp is over. Thank goodness.
It's not over. You still got a whole week there, buddy. A whole week to get your car stuck again.
You got Monday night to stay. Where they go? Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? Yeah, shoot. No. Today's Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Thursday. So I have to stay Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Man, two more stays.
You'll be okay with it. You'll survive, I think. Hopefully.
Yeah, you're dying out there in the 60-degree weather yesterday.
It was really nice yesterday. It was a little warm down on the field, but it was nice. There was a little breeze every once in a while, at least up in the stands and on the hillside.
They let everybody on the sidelines. They let you on there. They let anybody on there.
They kicked us off
family night, so.
Yeah, they kicked us off the sidelines just in time for the families to come out. It was family night at training camp yesterday.
Where'd you go? Did you go back up in the stands or?
We went up on the right in front of the fence there by the golf carts because the kiddo wanted some autographs.
Omar's autograph?
No, he got Derek Harmon and Calvin Austin Jr. or Calvin Austin. Oh, and who's the only fullback on the roster? What's his name again? He's literally the only guy listed as a fullback.
Is it Evan Hall? No,
he's just a regular running back. Thomas Jones.
Oh, he just came back from an injury, yeah.
Yeah. So the kid was happy. He got a few autographs on his little mini Steelers.
What he should have did was just stuck with the one, the Derek Harmon.
Well, it's good. He balanced it out, not on purpose. He got lucky. Thomas Jones is on the back side of the helmet. On the front side, you got Derek Harmon going like up around the logo almost. And then on the yellow stripe, Calvin Austin gave it the little CA3 on the yellow stripe with a black marker. So it worked out for the kiddo. He got his autographs. We got to see some camp yesterday. And Kaboom's car didn't get stuck until he tried to come down the hill to his house, which is just amazing.
And they made me wait there for a while, too. That's why we're so late.
Yeah, it's all right. People know that you'll get there eventually. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC talking about the heat. You better try and stay cool for the rest of the summer. If the AC is not doing what you want it to do, you think something's broken, something needs looked at, get a hold of Impact HVAC, either by giving them a call, 412-297-1852, or message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH. They'll come on out. They'll take a look. They'll tell you what's going on with your system. Maybe it's just old. Maybe it's broken. Maybe it needs repaired, replaced, just a little bit of maintenance, a little bit of TLC. No, not tables, ladders, chairs. We'll get to that in a second. But whatever it is, get a hold of Impact HVAC, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or 412-297-1852. We got to thank them for supporting Kabali and Mac as well. Speaking of TLC, tables, ladders, and chairs sort, and SummerSlam. Kaboom. It was a great. I was worried when they were going to go to 2 days that you might, you know, sometimes WrestleMania, 2 days, it can feel like too much of a time commitment if you're a fan and you want to watch everything.
They try to shove everybody in their WrestleMania moment.
Right.
Royal Rumbles and this and that.
I do. And clearly they wanted to make up for the fact that they didn't get the tag teams involved at WrestleMania, right? And so they have this huge six-team tables, ladders, chairs tag match as a part of the second day of SummerSlam last night. And I'll be honest, totally worth it. Totally worth it. Best match of the weekend. There were people flying around through ladders, through tables. I mean, and the fact that nobody got seriously hurt doing it, I don't think, is just a testament to how good each and every one of those tag teams is and every person involved in that match was. But it was, someone told me it was the 25th anniversary of the original TLC between the Dudleys, the Hardys, and Christian and Edge. And it was a perfect tribute to that, I thought.
Yeah. Plus, you know, you got a bunch of guys that have looking for any type of shot, you know, some TV time. You knew they were going to not leave anything in the bag. You know, did you see the stats? How many chairs were used? How many ladders?
No, I didn't.
It was like a breakdown. These are many chairs were used. These are how many were broken. It was out of control. I actually predicted the Wyatts to win that because I don't think it really mattered. It just like now gives that division a little boost in the rear end coming up here at the end of the week. So it seemed like that SmackDown tag team group was good and it was getting a lot of momentum. Then it just died. I think this might have invigorated it a little bit.
So. A ton of juice. And Candice LeRae going through a ladder as well. That was a nasty looking bump. They did a great job.
Boy, Logan Paul.
I was going to bring that up too.
No, so Logan Paul is just a natural. I mean, who would think that where he struggles maybe the most is on the mic? I don't know if I can really buy his gimmick as much as when he gets out in that ring and it's like, hey, he'll do just about anything. Man, you got to give it to the roll too. Jelly Roll, not too many people can take that darn hit, man. They got
a monstrous bump. I really thought for a split second, like I was checking to see if real doctors came out at all or not to check on him. And Logan Paul going off the ring post through the table was another one of those moments on Saturday night that in any other PLE, you'd walk away from it going, that's the moment. That's incredible. And it kind of, I don't want to say it falls down the list. It doesn't take away from the quality of it, but like with everything else that happened both nights, it kind of does slide off your radar just a little bit. But you're right. Logan Paul, I think his mic work is perfect for the kind of heel that he is. Yeah. Come on out, insult everybody, tell them how much they suck and how
it
great.
Seems like it's forced. It seems like he's learning how to do a promo every time I hear it.
But I don't think Gunther's the same way. And he's been holding a belt for most of the last 3 years, whether it was Intercontinental or the World Heavyweight. So you don't have to come out and be Kevin Nash or Scott Hall on the mic. Like, come on out.
Hey, yo,
take a little survey here. You just come on out, run down the crowd, and then put on a great match. And I think it's enough that people are like, no, this is... You wanted to do the pen flip?
I'm doing the Pat McAfee pen flip.
You don't do it as well as him. He's nailed it.
He's a professional athlete, and I'm not.
Yeah, that probably has something to do with it, too. But man, like Justin, that was a great job.
Right there. Justin put you in your place right there with that comment.
I didn't see what he said. Hold on.
Gunther's way better on the mic than Logan Paul. Yes, he is.
I'm going to agree to disagree with anybody that compliments Gunther's mic work. We'll get to that in a second. But I thought Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair, that's a fun little storyline that's coming together. Makes you want to root for Charlotte Flair, which was hard to do after
Maybe
she came back.
Maybe we should wear those shirts. We're not friends. Yeah. What do you think?
I actually thought that as I was watching the post show on Saturday night. I was like, those would be perfect for me.
Or you can wear the McIntyre on board at work. You think that would, work out? You
go into the office. Boozy's face up in the corner. I just like the way they're working together. And it sets up a perfect double cross by somebody down the line. But just let them go with it for right now. It's fun. And then the Becky Lyra Valkyra match I thought was excellent too. Some nasty spots in that.
What about Solo's freaking spot off the top of the cage after the match was after over?
Oh, Fatu, you mean? Yeah.
Jacob
Fatu. That one kind of checked the box for me. It wasn't like, oh my God.
Yeah, how about that? Oh, yeah. You know, a 320-pound dude doing a freaking backflip off the top of a cage. And you're like, whatever. I just checked it off the box to me.
Well, that's how good the whole event was both nights, I think. That one kind of checks a box. Dom doing Dominic things checks a box, right? Like, okay, that's great. That's what I want to see. And it was a pretty good match. And then the stuff that kind of got pushed to the side was, you know, Tiffy and Jade had a really good match. It was only like 7 minutes long. Sammy and Karrion Kross, it was okay. Only 8 minutes long. I don't know if they're actually trying to push Karrion Kross or what they're doing at this point. Kind of felt like they gave him a SummerSlam moment just to, you know, like appease him. I don't know. We'll see. And then I hate to say it, but the Roman Reigns, Jey Uso tag team win over Breaker and Reed. That thing didn't need to be 20 minutes long. Like, you could have got in and out of that thing in like 12 minutes and I think had the same impact. It dragged.
Yeah. I think then the kickoff night one, although I missed part of night one, that's probably why. Plus, you want to get Roman out there as much as you can, considering he's had one. He still only has one single match since WrestleMania 40. It's just crazy type of stuff going on there. But, I mean, there's some decent matches, but obviously one stood out. I mean, Dom and AJ were good, but it's not going to stand out. Jacob and Solo is not going to stand out yet. I don't think Tama Tonga is coming back until October.
Did you know, by the way, that MFT stood for My Family Tree?
I honestly didn't.
I thought it stood for something else.
Mother
effing Tongans. That's what I thought it was.
Did you see they had some sort of a, what was it called? The copyright to a new name for the Seth Rollins crew.
No, what is it?
The Vision or something like that.
Don't try too hard would be my suggestion there. As for Rollins, I thought Punk and I freeze and disappear for a second.
You keep freezing. What the hell are you doing? Tell the kid to get off the internet upstairs.
Seriously. I thought the Punk Gunther match was excellent. I didn't care that it was long and that it was slow at times. I thought they did a good job of just beating the hell out of each other. It got overshadowed though, in a good way, by the Rollins cash in at the end, which was played beautifully over the last 2 months.
I don't know. Was it a shoot into a work is what I want to know. Did he really get hurt, but then it wasn't? It's like, hey, it's not that bad, so I got an idea. Or let's fake it the whole way to set this up. I don't know which way it happened. I can convince myself both ways.
I think they played the world, and I think they did a great job of it. And I bought in when Rollins was hosting Rich Eisen's show for him a couple weeks ago and talked about how he was going to be out a significant amount of time. And I was all in. Oh, he's hurt. And then as soon as he hobbled out on the crutches, even then I was like, oh, wait, he's just going to like stare down Punk and tell him, just wait, buddy. And he did for a second. Starts to hobble away, throws the crutches out. Great cash-in moment. Great to propel the Rollins Punk thing forward even more.
Punk, man, this has been like 2 years now. He gets to the top. He's like that Price is Right game. And he flips over and comes back right down. It happens. It's unbelievable. He's going to have to get to a point where he's going to have to snap here, to the point where he's getting to the, I mean, not, you know, wrestling talk, as a character, because he's been so close, but he just can't get over that hump of being that guy anymore. Has to be frustrating for him. So I think that's a good storyline, especially Seth Rollins being the guy who keeps knocking him down.
Yeah, I think it's great execution of a long-term, long-range plan storyline. And for the most part, they've been very good the last few years of doing that long-term storytelling. And if you've watched any of the Unreal series on Netflix, I mean, I think it's a great peek behind the scenes in some regards. You see the whiteboards in the background. They've got all the matches planned out for the next few shows and next few months. And so they're always doing that, thinking about the long-range, long-term storytelling until they blow it up, in my opinion. And I think they blew it up and screwed up last night. Well, actually, it started Friday when you had Cena kind of pull this milquetoast face turn Friday night out of nowhere. Like, well, you got me, Cody. Oh, this is just what I needed, was a kick in the ass to be a good guy again.
The only thing I could think of is they got a last minute guarantee that Lesnar was showing up. They're like, let's roll with this now, because we got to pivot here a little, because Brock is coming.
Here's my problem with this. I've never been a huge Lesnar fan, and maybe that's my problem and everybody else loves him. It's big angry guy walks out, big angry guy stares at everybody, big angry guy comes down, smashes everybody with a few F5s, big angry guy stares at everybody, big angry guy walks back through the curtain. And without Paul Heyman attached to him, it's like watching Helen Keller try to work the mic without the benefit of Braille. It's useless. If you can't work the mic, you could be the biggest, baddest motherfucker on the planet, which Brock Lesnar very well may be. And it doesn't, I don't want to say it ruined, because it was a great event both nights, like I said, but it was just, what? We flipped this great work by Cena over the last 6 months like that in an instant on a SmackDown on a Friday night right before the PLE. So we could trot Lesnar out? I understand. Cena has a list of guys that he wants to work with during his farewell tour. That's what Triple H said last night on the post show. That's great. Bring Lesnar back towards the very end when you feel like you can get a little one-off pop and he can ride off into the sunset. Cena can ride off into the sunset. I hate that they did all that work and they laid it out for Cena to be the bad guy right up until the very end. And they zapped it right in the middle of SummerSlam.
Yeah. I wonder if it was an impromptu turn just because maybe the Cena heel turn wasn't as going as good as they wanted it to. I mean, that's, you would imagine that they thought the Cena heel turn wouldn't have peaked the day he kicked him in the nuts. And it seems like it did to me.
Well, no, I think it peaked the few weeks following that when they were in Europe and he decided to go, you know, Black Titantron and walk out with the belt reversed and all that stuff. I think he did a great job. And I think everybody was into it. They were into Cena sucks and all of that. And you could have carried that out. The moment we got between Cody and Cena last night at SummerSlam at the very end should have been the moment we get in Boston in December when Cena rides off into the sunset. Instead, we got it 4 months too early.
But we saw yesterday, you know darn well, when they're doing their butt slaps and hugs and kisses, you're just tuning in saying, okay, who's coming out? Who's coming out? Who's coming out? You would be sitting there saying, boy, something was just left short of that match because it just ended with a proverbial passing of the torch.
Right, but it would have
happened. It was. It was definitely. I mean, if you want to know how to pass the torch, Cena.
That was it.
Did that, you know, it's passing torch 101 right there, baby. He did a good job of that.
And it was a great match. One of the best matches of Cena's career, right?
Maybe the best.
And so it just, that had to happen in December, in my opinion. It didn't need to happen in August. Unless there's a payoff to this whole Lesnar thing, which again, I don't think there will be. They could have done the clean torch passing last night. I would have still thought it was 4 months too early. And they would have had me tune back into Raw tonight to go, ooh, okay, what's next then?
I just don't like, honestly, off of your point, I just don't like how it abruptly said, golly gee, shucks, I don't want to be a bad guy no more on Friday.
Then don't turn him heel in the first place.
Which leads me to believe that it was a last minute decision of Brock's coming in, so we go now or never.
So, but this is where the reliance on big names from the past, i.e. The Rock or Lesnar, leads you to, okay, whenever they're available, we got to break glass in case of emergency and change everything.
I think that's just because of Cena and his status in the company, too. They wouldn't do that for anybody.
I get that. And I understand. It does make perfect sense what you're saying. Like, oh, Brock finally got back to us and said he's cool with coming to New York this weekend.
Or cleared by TKO or whatever they
right, do. Or whatever it is. But it felt so forced. And now we're going to be given, I don't know, maybe it's only a month, maybe it's two, maybe it wraps up in 3 months at Survivor Series. I don't know. Whatever it ends up being, we're going to get this Lesnar-Cena run, which 10 years ago, it's great, awesome, perfect. But now it's going to feel like Thanksgiving leftovers 3 days later. And I love Thanksgiving leftovers, but man, they get to a point where I can't have any more turkey sandwiches. It's going to be a turkey sandwich for the next 3 months.
I don't think that Lesnar's thing's going to last 3 months.
Even if it's just a month, even if it just gets them through to, what's the next one? Clash in Paris or whatever. Whatever it may be.
Perth. I can't see Brock Lesnar flying to Perth, Australia. Right?
I don't know where it goes for Cena from here other than, you know, okay, big bad Brock comes out, gives him some F5s, and then Cena finally beats him in a match, and okay, it's great. Lesnar does not push any sort of compelling storyline forward for me. And again, maybe it's because I'm not a Lesnar fan, because he can't work the mic to save his life, and he has no one attached to him. Unless he somehow, but why would Brock Lesnar do this, aligns himself with Heyman and those guys, but that doesn't make any sense either. So, like, I just don't see the point in it other than giving Cena one more match with Lesnar, which he could have done a couple months down the line.
Maybe it's more than one match. Maybe Brock's coming back for multiple matches, including a series with Gunther. I mean, you hear a lot of chatter about those two wanting to mix it up in the ring. Maybe it's not a one-off. But you're right. I don't think you're spending the next 5 months having Lesnar v. Cena. Somebody else has to step in here.
And who else is on the list? Like, we've kind of gone through all the...
The Ortons and the...
Ortons, Punks. We had R-Truth in there for a little bit. I mean, we've gone through all the old rivalries.
Maybe The Rock.
Cena yesteryear. And this is... I'm glad you brought it back up again, because this is what happens when the megawatt superstar finally decides that they have time to come around for you, or in The Rock's case, the final boss's case, doesn't have time for it, because who knows how many different projects he's working on outside of WWE. You have to blow up a storyline. We've still never had the payoff to the final boss character snatching Cena's soul. I thought The Rock owned Cena's soul now.
Maybe that's Boston in December 15th or whatever. Maybe Rock got one more match left in him. When was the last time he wrestled?
It's been a while since he even showed up.
So that's the only logical opponent left for Cena, I would say, to get his dignity back by what The Rock did to him or made him do to him or steered him the wrong way.
But at some point, the final boss has to come back around then and say, excuse me, boy, I own your soul. You're not this baby face that you just decided to be again. I tell you what to do.
I thought that was going to happen last night.
Yeah, I kept waiting for it too. But again, when you let massive long-term storylines become beholden to whenever one guy wants to show up, or they get thrown in the trash when a different guy decides he is going to show up, it can absolutely crush the momentum of that long-term storyline that you've been building for months and sometimes years.
Well,
so that was my disappointment.
Well, there's not like there's a lot of dates left on the Cena calendar anyways.
No, we've got to be in the teens, 11, right?
Not even. And that's not all wrestling. He's probably going to do Survivor Series. He's going to do Australia. He's going to do Paris. And he's going to do Boston. That's probably only going to be in the ring five more times, right?
Yeah, that adds up, I guess. And then show up on some Raws to pimp whatever matches those are and try to build some sort of storyline arcs around them. But I thought the Lesnar thing kind of, I wouldn't say ruined. I shouldn't say
did
ruined.
Did you hear the pop?
I think it crapped all over what was otherwise a great weekend.
I'm always for, hey, who's coming out? What music's going to hit? Nobody thought Lesnar was coming back. So that pop was pretty significant. So you might be in the minority there when you're like,
I'm pretty sure I'm in the minority, but that's just my opinion. I think and what's Brock going to do on Raw tonight if he's there?
Maybe he'll walk out. Maybe he'll bring
the F5s.
Maybe he'll bring the Oracle with him. The Oracle, Paul Heyman.
The Oracle.
That's one thing. That's one thing. This day and age of wrestling's missing the manager. You got Heyman, and
there's so few that do it well, though. And nobody does it to the level of Heyman. So
Heyman's just Heyman. I mean, just even look watching Unreal and the wrestling. Bad Blood? Is that where he turned it? Or is that wrestling? Yeah. Just seeing leading up to that and what he had to be involved in, the facial reactions. And he's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
I don't know. Kyle has an interesting theory that maybe Lesnar's just there to handle The Rock's built business until he's able to do it himself. He's just the final boss's muscle. Again, I think we're trying to tie too many loose ends together, and I think the problem is they just got a lot of loose ends now. But everything else was fantastic.
Other than Cody's going away for a month and Roman's going away for a month. What are you going to do? I have no belt. That's why I thought Cody was going to lose.
You got a healthy Rollins, apparently. You got Punk.
Where's your good guys?
Punk.
Cena.
Yeah. I don't. We'll see. Inevitably, this always happens, and I'm usually the person telling the whiners and complainers to shut the hell up, but I'm a whiner and complainer in this case. And
that was a 40-minute match.
It was long, but it was good. I didn't expect Cody and Cena would be able to carry something that long, but they did, and they did a really good job of it.
Two baby faces in a street fight. That's probably the first time ever.
Yeah, but they did it well. I mean, a lot of spot, like the up coming up out of the stage, that spot was really cool. I mean, a lot of it was just really well done. So I'm not going to sit here and say SummerSlam was a failure because I didn't like the Lesnar appearance. I'll just say it was a great show aside from the Lesnar appearance. I'll put it that way. So we'll see what happens on Raw tonight.
I ended up being 7-5 in my predictions. Had a tough night one, rebounding night two.
Better than the Steelers' offense in 7 shots. I'll say that.
7-5, baby. Above 500.
That's all we're looking for. Just get me to the wild card game. Just get me there.
Blown out. No.
No, stop it. All right, a quick reminder. We'll do this again, I don't know, maybe Wednesday. They don't practice today, so there's nothing to talk about tomorrow, really.
No. Let me think Wednesday. What the hell? Whatever.
Yeah, we'll do it Wednesday. Maybe a couple other times this week. Definitely Saturday at the Maines Family Golf Outing out there in Plum.
I think it's in Monroeville, isn't it?
I thought it was everything out there. They call everything out there Plum.
Really? I thought that was the old Richie Walsh Golf Club.
Is it?
Where he used to own that place.
Oh.
I believe it was. Rolling Fields, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I think you might be right. Anyway, we'll be live there on Saturday to preview the Steelers-Jags game, obviously, because I'm sure there's a ton to talk about there. But just in, you know, hang out with the guys, whoever shows up for the Maines Family Golf Outing on Saturday. A couple more episodes this week as well to talk about what's going on up camp when Kaboom gets up there and gets his car stuck again, inevitably. No, you're not going to do that again.
No, I need to buy myself a nice, why don't you give old Bowser a call for me? Give me that Mac hookup.
You can call Gary. See if he'll help you out.
Maybe I should show old Richard Bazzi.
Show up in the fan hat like that. They'll help you out at Bowser.
They know who you are. I want to buy a truck, but then I look at the price of the truck. I'm like, maybe I don't want to buy a truck.
You're going to run that old Altima into the ground. You know it.
I barely use it.
You basically did on Saturday. You did run it into the ground.
Not even my car.
Yeah.
It's the beater.
Don't forget to follow on Instagram at Kabali and Mac for your chance to win the Yoli's Cucina and Craft House gift certificate. $100 for you to take the family to dinner. Or maybe you just don't even tell the family and you go on your own and try everything on the menu. And subscribe on YouTube as well, Kabali and Mac. Once we get to 2,500, one of our incredible subscribers is going to win an autographed Paul Skeens baseball. You go enjoy your day off, Kaboom. I'm sure you've still got plenty.
All I did was 2 hours of radio. Got to write a story. I'm anticipating a potential phone call around 2 o'clock.
You up to something?
Not me. Oh. I'm anticipating an explanation of the car getting stuck.
Okay.
From a certain employer of mine.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. They don't tell me nothing, but I wouldn't be shocked if it happened. So
I can't wait for that. We'll keep an eye out.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't be shocked one way or the other.
Well, those boys have already started their show. So if you haven't ditched us yet, you can ditch us now. Go check out a McAfee show. We'll be back on Wednesday to do it all over again and see what Kaboom has hopefully not gotten himself into between now and then. Thanks for being a part of this. You're all wonderful. We appreciate the support of everybody, especially the Dan Heck team presenting sponsors here on Kabali and Mac. Yins, enjoy your Monday. All right. We'll see you soon. Bye now.